Thanks for tuning into Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I'm a little excited about the word that God's given me today. He asked me to do something different, and you know, how many of you know God does different things all the time? Amen?
Amen.
So he asked me not to preach. How many of you know I have a tendency to get a little excited? So he asked me not to preach. He asked me to just share with you, like, out of my personal study time. I do this on Insta Story. I do this on IGTV. I do this on my Facebook Live, on my IG Lives. And he wanted me to share in that format because he was sharing with me. He said, I want my people to know how to hear from God. And so how many of you have heard people say, God told me? How many of you want to be able to say on a regular basis, God told me, say amen?
Amen.
So David says that all the time, and honestly, it frustrates me just a little bit. Right? Because anybody else got a spouse who does some things better than you do? Right? Like, he hears from God. Like, we'll be in a regular conversation, and he'll be like, oh, God just spoke to me, and he'll share something, and he will be in another part, and he'll be like, oh, God just told me. And I'm like, hello, God, I'm in these same conversations, dude. You could just speak to me, right? But David seems to hear God all the time, and I'm like, I want to hear God the way you do. But get this, God is a multilingual God. He speaks many different languages. Yo hablé un poquito español. Not hablé, habló. Yo hablo un poquito español, if you speak Spanish. If I have a friend who speaks Spanish and not English, I'm learning Spanish so that I can talk to them. Now, if you're with us, I'm not going to be rude to you by talking to them in their language, right? But I have to do that to communicate. Well, God communicates to each one of us in the language of his that we speak. So today we're going to be talking about how God speaks. And we're going to talk about four ways. There was three, and then I tacked one on today. We're going to talk about four ways you can hear from God. So one of the ways David hears from God, and if you're thinking, well, I don't know if I could hear from God, you can. You can hear from God. Who, me? Yeah, you. Well, I don't know that God speaks. He does. Matter of fact, Jesus says 15 times in the New Testament, he says these words. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, I want those kind of ears. So there was this guy who said he had a talking dog, so he went to this talent scout. And he told the talent scout, my dog talks. And so the talent scout said, show me. He said, Rover, what's on the top of that house over there? Rover says, roof. Talent scout says, I am not amused. What else you got? He said, well, Rover, how does sandpaper feel? Rover says, rough. Talent scout says, you have exactly 10 seconds to impress me, folks. What do you got? And he said, okay, I need something really good. I need something really good. Rover, who was the best all-time home run hitter? And the dog says, Ruth. Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth. So he's like, get out of my office. And he bounces them out of there. They start walking down the street. The guy's really depressed. The dog looks at him like, I failed you, man. Dog looks up at him and says, should I have said DiMaggio? You see, just because we doubt God speaks, just because the talent agent doubted that the dog spoke, just because we doubt God speaks, it does not mean that God does not speak. It means that we're not hearing him. So we're working on putting on spiritual ears. So number one, how do we hear God speak? The number one way that we hear God speak is we expect God to speak. We have to expect him. Now, I know this is deep. This is not just swimming. This is not snorkeling and taking a dive. This is not scuba diving and you're 50 feet down. We are scuba diving. We need nitrox because we're going 150 feet, which is about 20 feet deeper than you're supposed to go. So let me know if you don't get this, if this goes too deep for you. So number one, you need to expect God to speak. I don't know if it's from sitting in front of the speakers too many years or what, but sometimes when people are having a conversation, if I'm not paying attention to what they say, I can't understand what they're saying. Hey, I really want a sandwich and I want ham. Does anybody else that happen to anybody else? If you're not tuned in, you can't hear what they're saying. We have to tune in to God. to hear what he's saying. Otherwise, he will say stuff and we will just completely miss it. To talk to him, that's how we hear from him. So you got to talk to God. So I was talking to Ashton yesterday morning. She was helping a friend through a problem. And she's like, Mom, they're upset and they're not going to come to church. They feel like God's betrayed them. They feel like God's not listening to them. And she said, I told my friend, I said, hey, what have you been saying to God? And she's like, well, I just told God what I needed him to do and he didn't do it. And she said, well, let me ask you this. Do you realize that God's not a fictional character? God is a real person and he has feelings. And so when we come to God, we just can't come to him with a to-do list of the things we want him to do. She said, we need to come to God and we need to affirm God. And if we affirm God, that opens up his heart to give us those things that we're asking for. And I'm like, holy cow, this is deep stuff. You got to come to God. Who has never heard of the words or thought of the words in their own head, I need to affirm God? We don't think of God as needing affirmation, but God is craving our praise. And that's how we open up the conversation. And when we open up the conversation, he starts speaking back. So let's talk about God speaking back. The way David hears God, as David hears God a lot, in the same way that Elijah heard God. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to turn there in your Bible. If you don't have a paper Bible, I want you to turn there on your phone, on the Bible on your phone, because I want you to bring your Bible with you, even if it's on your phone, and I want you to mark your Bible up. My Bible, I'm going to use this page because it's easier to see because of all the colors. Can you get a close-up of that? My Bible is all marked up, if we can come in on this shot. You see that? I write all over it. I want you to feel free to mark up your electronic Bible. And here's the page I'm on right now, and it's not quite as bright, so you might not see it because it's yellow in pencil. But I write all over it. When God speaks to you something, number one, you have to expect to hear from God, but number two, you have to honor what God says to you. Has anybody ever told you something and it was important and you forgot to write it down and you forgot and they were upset with you? Oh, y'all need to get honest in this church. Has anybody ever told you something important, you forgot to write it down and you didn't do it? Say amen. Amen. All right, same thing with God. He tells us stuff, and when we don't write it down, he doesn't tell us anymore. When we're not doing what he said, he doesn't tell us anymore because we're stuck in this place because he's not being rude. He's over here speaking and we're in the wrong place. So the way he spoke to Elijah, and I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. I'm going to read you 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, just a couple of verses. Elijah had just gone through a battle. This lady named Jezebel just tried to kill him. He was just super exhausted. He's really needing to hear from God right now because he's in a desperate place in his life. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah?
You see, we want God to talk like this.
I just woke three of y'all up.
We want God to talk to us in this big booming voice where it's very clear, hello shoppers, we have a blue light special in aisle 5.
But that's not how God talks. God is a gentleman. He does not force us. He does not force his way. He does not force his will. He gave us the gift of free will. And in that gift, he's not going to turn us like pawns or robots. He's going to tell us what to do. He's going to ask us to follow him and to trust him, even when it doesn't seem like we should trust him. So David hears from God in this still, small voice in these conversations, and he's so tuned into his voice that when I call David on the phone, I don't have to say, hi, this is Nicole Crank, your wife, right? I just say, hey, baby, and then I just start rattling off whatever I'm thinking. Why? Because he's familiar with my voice. So how do we get familiar with God's voice? You test it. How do you test it? Number two, you honor God by journaling what he says. You journal what he says when he says it, or at least what we think is him. Because there's more voices. There's the inner voice. There's the voice of doubt. There's the voice of the enemy. There's the voice of what your mom told you when you were 5 reverberating around in there. There's what your boss said. There's your flesh, because my flesh is telling me, eat donuts. Who cares? My genes are telling me, we care. Right? So there's all these voices. So how do we start qualifying the voice of God? We start recording what God says or what we think is God, and then we keep going back and checking it. David Crank has kept a 21-year prayer journal, longer than that. God says something, he writes it down, and we go back and check it. And let me tell you this. I would tell you that I believe he is the most accurate translator of God's voice in the earth today. Why? Because in 21 years of him writing down what God has told him, there has been one time when he wasn't wrong. It just happened a different way than what we thought. But once it went all the way around and came out that way, it came out the way that it was said. Ever seen something in hindsight instead of beforesight? I haven't seen him miss it. Why? Because he spent time tuning in to the voice of God. And that's an incredible gift. And I get frustrated because I don't have his gift, but I have my gift. You can't get frustrated about that language. My gift is reading the Bible, reading my devotionals. I travel with a Bible. I travel with a couple of devotionals. I usually travel with a Passion Translation. I usually have anywhere from 4 to 6 books with me at pretty much all times. Why? Because this is how God speaks to me. You can trust what the Bible says. The Bible is the Logos. The original translation is Logos, which means the written word of God. And when you read the Logos, what will happen is as you're reading along, you will get what's called a rhema. And the rhema is the living voice of God. So you'll read something in this living voice. It can also be like a revelation. Have you ever opened your Bible and you read a scripture and you're like, holy cow, 4,000 years ago, how did they know this was going to happen to me today? Has that ever happened to you? Say amen. Amen. That was God speaking to you. That was a rhema of God coming up on the inside of you. God was speaking to you through his word. And everything that you ever hear, it must line up with the word of God in order for it to be something that God would say, because God will never contradict himself. But God can speak a lot of different ways. Have you ever gotten a text from a friend? You're like, God, I really need you right now. I just need to know what to do. And right about that time, somebody from your iConnect small group texts you and said, God laid it on my heart to pray for you and just wanted you to know that he was with you. Has that ever happened to you? It's God speaking. Have you ever watched a secular movie and God spoke to you in a secular movie? I was watching Toy Story 4, and one of the characters was like lonely and left out and forlorn and really felt rejected. And God spoke to me in that movie and said, that's how so many of my children feel. I'm in Toy Story about ready to burst into tears because God spoke to me there. God will speak to you while the preacher is preaching. I was about to kill David Crank one time. You see, we're in this conference, it's 2005, we're sitting on the second row, we're right here, the pastor's on the floor walking back and forth, and he's preaching, and he's preaching and preaching, he's looking right at us and preaching and preaching, and David Crank is ignoring him and writing and writing and writing, not even looking up, and he's preaching to us, and David's not looking, and I'm like trying to play it cool, but I'm like, David, when he's in trouble, it's David Crank, he's looking at us. And loud enough for the pastor to hear, he looks at me, he says, I don't care what he's saying, God's talking to me right now. But he was absolutely right. He said, I can get what he says on the CD after the service, but I don't listen to him right now, he's probably not going to repeat it. He was honoring what God said in the moment. What spurred it on? Earlier on in the service, he looked at us. He was talking about something different than what it meant to us, but he looked at us. He said, you got to move. You got to move. And he kept going. Well, we had an inkling that maybe we were supposed to move because we were 35 highway miles away from the church. But that was confirmation. And as soon as he said that, God told David what to list the house for, how to list the house, what town we were going to move into, how to move our finances around. And he was recording it just as quick as he could. And here's me trying to get him to look at the preacher. God's voice comes in many different ways. God's voice comes in a song. So last week we were in West Palm Beach. We're in West Palm Beach a week, in St. Louis a week. And so last week we were in West Palm Beach and trying to find a quiet place to hear from God because it was busy around our house. So we went to Starbucks. It was Women's Conference Week. Took all my stuff into Starbucks. I'm reading and praying, and David's reading and praying. And David's like, oh, God's speaking to me. Oh, God's speaking to me. Oh, God's speaking to me. I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Just leave me alone. And then finally, about 45 minutes later, it opened up. I read one thing on a page. I filled up a page with notes, and it was actually this message. God was just speaking to me. And finally, like after that happened, I could relax, and I'm like, God has spoken to me. The second I leaned back, music had been playing in Starbucks the whole time, but I had never noticed it. So I clued in to the music, and I clued in, and God was speaking through the voice of Bob Marley. One love, one life, let's praise the Lord and feel all right. The instant I went, it's as if somebody turned the volume up and I heard, let's praise the Lord and feel all right. It was a confirmation to me in that moment, Nicole, I have just spoken to you. That was me. This is my word. You're on the right track. Don't be frustrated because of how I talk to David. You got to share with people how I'm going to talk to them. Amen? And some days he says a lot, and some days I don't hear him at all. And I actually brought a picture, if media would share that with us, of what it looks like on days when he speaks and one days when I don't hear him. And on the bottom you see, oh, he's speaking to me that day, right? I'm writing everywhere. I'm writing all over everything. The other day, I'm just highlighting, right? So we don't hear him every day, and that's okay. So we need to expect to hear from God. We need to prepare to hear from God. And number three, we need to make a place. We need to expect to hear from God. We need to honor what we hear from God. Number three is we need to prepare a place to hear from God. So in my old house, it was actually this particular Bible. I've got like 10 of them, and a few of them, this one's been recovered because I wore it out. And I would sit in this massage chair, and God would speak to me while I was in this massage chair. We moved, and then it was the front porch, and we found this place on the front porch, and God would just speak to us on the front porch. And then right after that, it's like the kids, it seemed like the kids found us there, and they wouldn't go to the coffee maker in the morning anymore. They would come to the front porch and hang out, and that's supposed to be where I'm hearing from God. So I need this 15 minutes, this hour, wherever I'm trying to sneak in. And so I found this new place just recently on my deck off my bedroom, and now my family's going to hear this message and be able to find me. And as I found this new place, I went out there, really this past week I was just trying it out, and as I went out there, Tuesday morning was really the first morning I went out there, and as I sit down, I literally open up my devotional, opened up my devotional, not my Bible, opened up my devotional, and as soon as I open up my devotional, a dove lands right over next to me. Now that probably doesn't mean much to you, but let me tell you about that. So when we bought this house several years ago, the appraiser came in and was looking at the house. He said, hey, do you know about this area? I'm like, no, not really. And he said, this particular hill back in the day was inhabited by the Indians, and the religious leaders of the Indians lived on this hill right here. Wow, that's interesting. He said, yeah, then the Catholic church, they bought up this whole property. And did you know that the priests lived on this hill where you guys live? He doesn't know we're pastors. So here we are, pastors of the church, religious leaders in the area, and here it's generationally been a place where religious leaders gather. He said, yeah, the name of this hill is Paraclete Hill. Paraclete and the dove, Paraclete means dove, are signs of the Holy Spirit. We moved to Holy Spirit Hill, Paraclete Hill, and here this Paraclete lands right next to me. Now let me tell you another way that God speaks. God speaks by peace. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
So in Colossians 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule and act as umpire continually in your heart. Rule and act as umpire, that's a literal translation of the Hebrew language. He will literally tell you when it's safe to be there, and he will literally tell you when to get out. And it says, to rule and act as umpire in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. So let the peace of God, we're supposed to be led forth with peace. So let me tell you about, we get to this hill. We got to move. We don't know where to move, so we're looking. I get attached to what I get attached to. I would drive the same car until it like died on the highway, but like every 10 years or so, my husband makes me buy a new car, and I typically buy the same car in the same color as the car I had before because I just like what I like, which works out really good for my husband because I like him. So I'm hesitant to move because I liked our house, but I'm not resistant to move. Does that make sense? And we're looking and we're shopping and we're looking and we're shopping and we're looking and we're shopping for weeks, probably a couple months, and we find this house. It is pimped out. It is decorated. The basement has just been finished. It looks like MTV Cribs. It's got a pool, an in-ground pool in the backyard. That was even above and beyond every expectation on my wish list. It was a few minutes from the church. It met every criteria. And every time I went and looked at that house, I cried like a baby. David's like, what is your deal? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, woman, we gotta move. I'm like, I know, I'm trying. He's like, my heart is 100% in this. I have no idea what's going on. We looked at that house three different times, and all three times, I burst out in tears. I don't know how well y'all know me, but how many of y'all can look at me and tell, I'm probably not the kind of girl who cries all the time, right? Outside of my character. So, I mean, it's probably 4 weeks later, and this other house just comes on the market. We go look at it. The basement doesn't look like MTV Cribs. There's no pool in the backyard. And actually, when we walk into it, it really needs to be remodeled. And we walk in the house, we look around the house, and I look at David Crank, and I said, this is our house. And he said, yeah, this is it. That's the house that was on Paraclete Hill. You see, in the other house, I didn't know what it was, but I had a lack of peace. It looked better in the natural. I want you to hear that. It might look better in the natural. Might be pimped out, might be MTV, he might be good looking, the money might be better, they might have better benefits, they might have promised you a promotion. It might look better in the natural, but if you don't have peace, and I'm not talking about going against your flesh, because your flesh will war against your spirit, but if you don't have peace in your spirit, not your flesh, because my flesh is like, let's eat donuts now. But if you don't have peace in your spirit, you can't go. With God, it's never for less, it's always for more. So here we are, we're back with the dove. So the next day, I actually wrote it down in my notes, word for word. The next day, we're sitting there, I came out there, and I bring my computer because I was going to work on my message, but first I wanted to journal. I open up my computer, and I type these words. I'd been there 60 seconds. I type, Tuesday a.m., praying and during prayer, a dove flew on my deck. I typed this on Wednesday. I typed that sentence. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to play a video for you here in 1 second. As soon as I typed that sentence, this is what happened over on my left-hand side.
There's a dove just flew on my porch while I was praying. You know, the Holy Spirit is like a dove that comes. And I was actually just typing in my notes for the weekend about how this dove, while I was praying about a certain thing, this dove landed on my porch. And just as I was saying those words, typing those words out, the dove landed again. I haven't seen him in 24 hours, and I haven't seen a dove come up here in weeks. I'm typing those words, he shows up again. And so I'm preaching this weekend in St. Louis on hearing from God, and I'm telling you, God will just give you these little signs along the way. Don't give up.
That's God. Does God use these little God winks for any of you guys? These little things that you just know? So let me tell you about the dove. So I live on Paraclete Hill, and in 2014, God gave a mandate to our staff that we were supposed to read the book of Acts on our knees every day. So I got up in my room and put my Bible on my bed, and I would begin reading the book of Acts every day. And it was 2014, and this dove would come, not just to the big windowsill, but to this little plastic lip that was on the edge of the windowsill. He'd be like all the way as close to the glass, and he'd be like trying to get in the glass and like pecking and flapping his wings. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is unreal. Nobody's going to believe me. So I start calling for David and the kids, thinking the dove will be gone by the time they get there. And no, the dove stays. We take pictures of the dove. We take video of the dove. The dove comes back day after day in May. One of the days, I told you there's a deck in my room, off my room. So he comes around to the door to the deck. It's a glass door. And he's like flapping and flapping and flapping. Like he's trying to get in the glass. And I'm like, dude, do not open that door. I don't know how to get that bird out of here. Literally every day, only in May 2014, only while we're reading the book of Acts on our knees. And then 5 years later, God comes back in that same spirit of the dove. You see, God will speak to us different ways. So as I was up on the porch on Friday, God speaks to David. Here's another way that God speaks. God speaks in dreams. It says in Acts 2:17, and it says, in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, God talks to Pastor David in dreams a lot. How do you know it's a dream from the Lord? Some dreams you wake up and you have to try and remember. That's not usually a dream for the Lord. Some dreams you wake up and you have crystal clarity about every detail. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, and even days later, you don't have to write it down because it's just there. You can't shake it. That's your first inkling. I'm not saying that it's from God, but that's an inkling that it's from God. So you can pay attention to that. You can write that dream down, and you can see what God was trying to speak to you, and you go back and judge and figure out whether or not it was God. So God wakes David up. He speaks to him in dreams. He wakes him up. He went downstairs. He went to the front porch. I had been on the front upstairs deck, and I was honoring what God told me. I was writing down things he told me. This little list right here is just like a to-do list. I needed to pray for a certain person. I needed to schedule a certain meeting. I needed to take care of some stuff. The enemy will try and distract, so you got to write that stuff down. But God just spoke two things to me that day, and the first thing was, don't give up in the last moments. You see, you're going from faith to faith, victory to victory, season to season, and we're in constant transition through this life, and in that transition, there's always something new starting, but we're not supposed to give up in the last moments of what we're walking out of. And then he told me, redeem the time. Now, I knew that redeem the time meant to me, there was a woman in 2014 who wrote us a letter. And in that letter, she quoted the scripture that talked about redeeming the time, which lined up with the word of God. And I know this woman to be an intercessor, and we kept this letter. Now let me caution you. There are people who hear from God, and they will have a word from God for you. There are also flakes, freaks, and nuts, and they hang out in church bathrooms where it stinks, and so does their word. Right? Don't let some flaky, freaky, nutty person decide how your life is going to go. If they have a word from God for you, you write it down. You make sure it lines up with the word. You take it to the weekend leadership team of the church. You take it to Arden and Susie. You let them review the word. They'll pray for it with you. And then you be led forth with peace as to whether or not that was actually God or whether or not they had a pizza dream. Right? So we trusted this woman. I finished my time. I went down on the front porch and bothered David in his study time. And he said, the Lord's been speaking to me all morning. I need to share with you where we're going, what we're doing, how we're doing it. And I sat there and listened for like an hour. And at the end, he's like, so, okay, you got it? I'm like, nope, don't got it. He's like, what do you mean you don't got it? I'm like, well, this confuses me. I don't understand this. He's like, what do you mean? It's just clear as day. I'm like, I don't get it. He's like, you're just hard-headed, woman. I'm like, I'm not trying to be hard-headed. I just don't get it. I'm like, but God did speak to me these two things. Don't give up in the last moments and redeem the time. He said, well, that's nice. You see, what God was speaking to David wasn't making sense to me, and what God was speaking to me wasn't making sense to David. But he told me redeem the time, and I said, it's that letter. He said, I'll help you find it. He found the letter, and he gave it to me. Watch God work. In that letter, you see, this is why number four is, you have to seek out what God says. You see, in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If I had not sought out these words, redeem the time. David helps me find the letter. I read the four-page letter. Get this. In the letter, she says some of the exact things, word for word, that David had just shared with me that God spoke to him that morning. Word for word. And then get this. The rest of the four pages was the key to me understanding the other things that God had told him. Since I thought out that word, I read this. I said, oh my gosh, she said this. He said, so did I. I said, she said this. He said, so did I closed it up and I said, David, I get it. I'm completely on board. I understand. I know where we're going. Before he had even told me God spoke to him, God gave me the words, redeem the time. I was expecting to hear from God. He told me something. I honored what he said. Because I had prepared a place to meet with God. And then I sought out what he said. And when we seek out what God is saying, whether it's a dream, a vision, a song, a logos, a rhema, a still small voice, whatever it is, peace. When we seek out what God says, he will keep us from making missteps. He'll keep us from going the wrong way. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I'm going to close with this. back in the day, they didn't have refrigerators, so they had these ice houses, and they had these big, thick walls and these doors that kind of closed tight, and they'd cover it in sawdust and sawdust on the floor, and they'd cut the ice out of the lakes and rivers during the wintertime, and they'd store it in here, and the guy was loading the ice, and he lost his watch, and watches were really hard to come by in those days. He was really upset about it, and so he looked for it, all his friends looked for it, nobody could find it. He gave up. So like 5-year-old boy comes up, he says, "I can find your watch." He's like, "Go for it, son." 5 minutes later, the little boy comes back with the watch. He's like, "How did you find it?" He said, "It was so easy. I just went in the ice house and I laid down in the sawdust and stayed real still and quiet. And soon, I could hear the watch ticking." You see, if we'll just get real still and quiet in this noisy world, soon we'll start hearing that voice. And it's going to tell us how to get there. And I believe God's going to lead you in that way.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.